Do you think that the Salacious stands for Bodacious, so his name is Salacious Bodacious? Because I really want his name to be Salacious Bodacious Crumb. That is, I never thought of this before, and this is the coolest thing ever. Salacious Bodacious Crumb. Let's go. Dave Filoni, make it happen. Put on that black cowboy hat.
We'll start from there. Ootsini friends, welcome in, and you're listening to Jawa Chatter. I am going to conclude that rant about Salacious Bodacious
Crumb.
Well, that's
another B. What am I doing?
Yeah, that was saying that's redundant.
What am I doing?
It's fine. Welcome in, friends. This is Jawa Chatter, and today we are discussing Knights of the Old Republic game remake remade by Aspyr, supposedly, that has been delayed indefinitely.
Is it Aspyr?
Yeah, it's Aspyr. Yeah, no, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I have the article up. Anyways, joined with me for our Star Wars chat is Claudia. Not really a Star Wars newbie. I just don't know if I should call you that anymore. But Claudia, hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hey. Nerdy, who is deep in thought over there.
About Salacious Bodacious Crumb.
It could be Asper, but Asper sounds more to me like, well, honestly, it sounds more to me like ass.
Or aspartame, that's what it means.
Whereas Aspyr sounds like aspiring to something. So I could be wrong, though.
I feel like the long vowel before the R would need the E after the R. This is so pointless, because I don't think PYR ever makes pyre. Or, no, I guess
no, it does. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does. This doesn't matter. All right. So
the English language.
I've called this company Asper for years.
And I've been calling it Aspyr for years. No. You could be completely right here. I am not saying I'm right. So I could be the one that has been doing that for years. Either way, Aspyr in the Aspyr. I don't care. So, for those that don't know, Knights of the Old Republic is.
I love that you said that as if you were going to do different pronunciations and add mine in, and then you never added my pronunciation.
Nah.
You just went Aspyr in the ass, fire. Like I said, Asper,
whatever.
Like Casper,
like Aspen,
yeah, like Casper.
I was thinking like Aspen, Colorado, beautiful place to live. If you've never been to Aspen, it's awesome.
And it's expensive. Really great.
If you want to go skiing in Aspen, Colorado.
Gorgeous.
Have you skied in Aspen, Colorado?
I have snowboarded in Aspen,
Colorado.
I was
just about to ask if you're a skier or snowboarder. Yeah.
Okay. I was a skier when I was a wee, wee, wee lad.
Mm.
And then I was going down COP, Canada Olympic Park, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I was 6 years old. I was on my skis and I forgot to pizza. Do you know about the pizza?
Yeah, I do.
And
yeah.
At the bottom of the hill, there's this long piece of snow, and then there's the steps up to the lodge. And I went face first into those metal grated steps.
Oh, my God, you did not.
Yeah, and I was a kid, and it just traumatized me. And so I loved going to the mountains with my friends, though, right?
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
I picked up snowboarding. There was a time when, like, it wasn't really cool to be a skier. Like, you had to snowboard.
I remember that.
Boys.
I remember that, yeah.
And so, yeah, from that day on, I was a snowboarder. And then I became a skateboarder, and I did that until I hurt my knee. I snowboarded, and I was a big snowboarder. I'm a Canadian boy, Jeffers. Like,
I know, but,
I
like,
all the ice sports.
All the Canadian friends, I'm like, hey, do you like snowboard or ski? You know, you want to go? They're like, no. And I was like, what's happening right now? Who am I talking to?
I love doing it. Have I done it since I turned 18? I have not. I don't have time for that shit. I'm old. I got bills. I can't slide down a mountain.
We snowboard.
I
don't have time. I don't have time to slide down mountains anymore. Okay.
Claudia just fell down the mountains as I tried to teach her. So I mean, you know.
That's cute. Until one of you breaks your neck, that's really cute.
Wow. All right.
Dark. Okay. Dark.
All right. So what
were we talking about?
Knights of the Old Republic. It is a pretty famous Star Wars game and actually video game in general. It is one that, for the most part, got like huge raving reviews across the board back in the day. I have played it a few times, which is really rare for me to play a game that long that many times. Mm-hmm. I know, Nerdy, you've played it.
Have I played this game. We could start counting the devices I've played this game on, because Knights of the Old Republic is everywhere now.
Oh, it's everywhere.
I have it on my phone.
Give it your phone.
On my iPad. Yeah. I have not paid for the Switch version, but I probably should, just to be a completionist. But no, I love Knights of the Old Republic a lot.
So Aspyr actually were the ones that did the port slash remaster, whatever you really want to call it. It's basically a port from the old game to, like, you know, the iOS, Switch, all that. They also do other things. They're basically referred to as like a service company. So, like, they've been doing a lot of remasters or ports for other games, not just Star Wars, but that one, Star Wars Pod Racer, is another one I think they did. And so for some reason, at some point, someone was like, let's give this company a complete remake, which really, with a game this old, it's basically like building a game from the ground up almost. So they did that, and we got the announcement last September, which I'm sure, you know, you probably remember, Nerdy, and I think you might have been sitting next to me, actually.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know at that time was apparently they've been working on it for 3 years. The reason I didn't know that at the time is because they barely showed us anything. But all was well, at least we thought so, until recently.
Let's not skip ahead of the announcement, though.
Okay. Right?
Let's stop here for a second, because that announcement, I don't know if you guys have seen, I'll send you, you should actually put the video of my reaction to that announcement on Java Chatter.
Okay.
Because I'll do it. It is maybe 7 seconds long. It's just Revan stepping out of the shadow, right?
Yeah, like, it's Revan. Lightsaber ignited, and like then like the title or whatever that goes across, so something like that. Yeah,
so first it was a music cue.
Yep.
I remember this so vividly, like it lives in my bones. It was a music cue, and I turned to Clarusse, and she has no idea what's going on. She's never played Knights of the Old Republic.
No, neither is she.
And I turned to her, and I just had this like, oh my god, it's happening moment, and my chest was like swelling and I was freaking the F out, and Revan steps out of the shadows and I started to cry. And like, not,
that doesn't sound
not,
like you.
No, but usually I cry like I don't usually just cry like this, like Obi-Wan, like there's an emotional reason.
Oh, for sure,
like an emotional thing. This was purely just like I was in such a weird state of shock.
Oh,
this
yeah
was being announced that I just started to like lose it a little bit, and I'll send you the video. It's crazy. This announcement hit me like a sledgehammer. I was so excited. I was so emotional. You know, Knights of the Old Republic was one of the first games I got on the Xbox, and it's one that I've probably, I don't even know how many times I've beaten. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things that, like, now that it's on my iPad, I'll just start new games just to like try out different weird things in the first planet. And I just, the emotional experience that this announcement was for me, more so than any video game announcement that I can remember. Like, this was truly something special to me, and I was so excited. I saw that Aspyr was doing it. I thought they did an excellent job porting it to iOS. You know, it's tough to get a game this big to run on an iPad.
I bet.
And it runs on mine, right? And and granted, it's a 20-year-old game, but yeah, I that announcement to me, I just didn't want to skip by it because it was huge for me. Like, I was more excited about this than I think any video game coming out this year. And obviously.
Yeah, and I can't really follow.
It won't come out this year.
No, it won't come out this year. I can't follow up that reaction with that type of reaction, but I was screaming and was just very caught off guard. I think I was more just sitting there in shock. I was just like, no part of me was like, no part of me ever thought that that would ever even be announced, let alone catch me off guard. Like, usually it's really hard to keep these things under wrap. I don't care who you are, but like, especially when it comes to Star Wars stuff, games, shows, whatever, but especially games, something about the game industry, man, they everywhere something is leaked. So when kind of the same that Nerdy said, I was just like, wait, what? I just didn't know what was happening at first, but then once I figured it out, I mean I lost my shit. But yeah, and I didn't cry, but like I was crying on the inside and I was freaking out and I just didn't understand what was going on. But at that moment, after that had gone, I realized, I was like, wait, how far into this are they? Like, how far could they possibly be? I had no idea it was 3 years. Mm-hmm. Apparently, when they showed that very, very brief thing, it was 3 years. And recently, like June 30th, they finalized a demo to show to Lucasfilm and Sony. And they felt great about it, apparently. Now, this article comes from Bloomberg, which is Jason Schreier. If you don't know who that is, he's a very famous video game article writer. He does like these all inside scoops and unions and stuff in the video game industry. And the following week, after showing the demo to them, they fire their design director and their art director. So apparently, it didn't go well. It did not.
Great meeting, I bet. I bet you all those people. Oof. You know, if you're coming out of a big meeting like that and you feel like it's going to go great and you get fired the next week, like that is. It's really bad.
It's like taking that big test that you're like, oh my God, I freaking aced that thing. I nailed it. You get your grade back and you're like, you failed. I'm like, wait, what?
I'm sure it was just going in, you feel confident. And then you're like, oh, I studied the complete wrong material.
Yeah. You get in there and you're like, oh, what's happening? So the reports are, and some of this is like kind of a hearsay because, you know, nobody wants to present their names, obviously, is that... People on the project reported to Bloomberg that apparently they were very caught off guard. They weren't expecting that, obviously. They were expecting the complete opposite. But then, so the studio heads at Aspyr actually told the staff after this that the demo or vertical slice, as they called it, wasn't where they wanted it to be. And so the project would be paused, which we now know is indefinitely. They don't have a timetable for it, which is not great. Which is interesting because, and this was the part that I found that kind of blew me away, is apparently originally they actually thought this game was going to come out the end of 2022, Aspyr did. But developers reportedly were like, no, realistic target's like 2025. So they got a little ambitious on one side of the staff, it sounds like, rather than the other. The more realistic side was like, no, guys, like, you're crazy. So I guess one of the people also with the project suggested that there was a disproportionate amount of time and money that went into the demo and the project's course wasn't sustainable. So apparently they focused too much on like trying to wow, you know, their superiors of, you know, Sony and Lucas. And then when that tanked, they basically had like almost, I don't want to say nothing, but like apparently not much because now they have no timetable. And to make things worse, to wrap it up, the article, apparently Saber Interactive is joining the project. They already have. And Aspyr actually believes that Saber, whom apparently does the outsourcing work for the project, may just take it over completely, which means Aspyr would be completely out of like, they would just be out of this. This is a huge thing for those that don't know. Aspyr is somebody who like goes from like porting games around to basically getting their own game to make. That's a huge score. To then potentially lose that score altogether or to have this bad of a fumble is rough. Like real rough.
I think it goes beyond that, right? Like, I think that this is, it's indicative of the fact that there is no culture at Aspyr around the idea of building a game, right? And so
there's not.
What they were so good at, is not building games. Like they did not create a single asset.
No.
In Knights Old Republic for iOS. Nope. They did not create a single asset in Podracer for the Switch, right? That wasn't what they were hired to do. And so I think that Aspyr could be fine if they take a step back, go make a couple of really good ports, or go create an original game. But in terms of creating like an IP, working with an IP to take on something as important to that IP as Knights of the Republic is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that this is just a black eye that they won't recover from in that way anytime soon.
No.
But I could be wrong. Like, you know, some other... who knows? Maybe the Justice League will come and ask them to make a Justice League game next week. I don't understand why any of these companies do half the things they do at the end of the day.
I don't know, but this one's such a real head-scratcher for me. Like, once I found out who was making it, you know, after my hype had died down, I even then was like, wait... Hold on. It doesn't mean I don't like Aspyr, right? It's just kind of exactly how Nerdy just framed it. They don't make games. And you're now giving them the remake of a game that is arguably one of, if not the biggest Star Wars game that's ever been made. And you're like, here you go. Here it is. And you're like, why would you greenlight that, I guess? I guess that is, I mean, I understand Aspyr trying to take it on, but they don't make games. But who...
Because they did a good job of like porting it over. You're like, you're not creating any new story. It's not like Respawn where they had to come in with a new story, build all of that out. All of that dialogue is there. It's, you know, updating those pieces.
Dialogue, sure. But like the coding and the aspects and the art.
Aspects.
That's all like you have a frame. It's like, you know, it's like kind of like you have the outline.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you can even, like, if you did a remake and you just did it shot by shot the same, but now you still have to fill in the lines with all new things. Like, it has to look like it's coming out in 2022 or 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever.
I'm also surprised that the first demo that was expected is almost into year 4 for that. That's another.
That's not
for a timeline for a video game. That's not that crazy.
I thought timelines for video games about 5 years, though.
It depends on the game. There's really no one universal benchmark, because if we think about it, there are some games. there are some games where I swear I don't know if I'll ever even see them. What was that game that's been in development for like 10 years? The name is escaping me all of a sudden. Good and Evil 2 or something like that. Good and Evil 2. I'll figure it out.
Star Citizen?
Star Citizen's one of them. Six, yeah, there's games that have been in development for like a stupid amount of time. We've seen barely anything. And it's just like, they just keep... But those are huge undertakings. But I think this is a huge... This game is huge. Like, this game, when it came out, what was it 2002? Three? Two.
Two.
It right? was like... Like, Claudia, I'm not exaggerating this just because I love Star Wars. This was like, we'd never seen anything like it. Like, the scale of this game, the amount of ridiculous amount of dialogue in this game, all voice acted, all of it voice acted. It was the craziest, like, best thing you'd ever seen. And even though we're in like a new, you know, we have more technology now, that doesn't mean that that's going to be less work just because they have a framework for it. Because that's all they have. They just have like a framework. They have nothing else going for them other than like the dialogue. They even wanted to, they said they actually wanted to bring in the voice actors and actually have them record new stuff too. So they wanted to just like go all out and go basically new for the most part. And well, like, and you, I get it.
I just looked it up. It is 2003.
Three, thank you.
I think that they would have to update it. Look, here's the thing. Knights of the Republic, as much as I love it,
I do love
is a flawed game in some ways, right?
Oh, for sure. Like,
it is a combat system that is so dense.
Yeah, they weren't going to do that combat system.
Hard to understand.
They were going
to
do it.
Basically, so for those of you who don't know, Knights of the Republic is built on a Dungeons & Dragons idea where when you attack... There are like basically there are dice rolls that are happening, but you don't see them.
Yeah.
But so how much damage you're doing, whether you hit or not, all of this is based on this like dice mechanic that happens in the code. And it's complicated.
It is.
Beating that game isn't easy. There are parts of that game where if you spec your characters up the wrong way, you can get kind of stuck. Right. It's a game that it has issues. I think it's a beautifully flawed game. I think it's a nearly perfectly flawed game. And I love it dearly. But in bringing that game to a modern audience, I think that there's a lot of work that you would have to do to sell it for whatever. How much is a game in the States? They're like $90 Canadian.
The new consoles now are $70.
Okay. So like $70 American, $90 Canadian, right? If you're going to sell it for that, you have to cater to a new audience, which means catering to younger people who have grown up in a video game environment where games play differently than Knights of the Old Republic did.
Right. It's going to have better gameplay.
Yeah.
You would have to. And the expectations of a Star Wars game, especially Knights of the Old Republic in terms of graphics, astronomically high. If you don't come out with triple A level graphics, you will be roasted. And this is not some title that you can be like, oh, it's like the fun side title like Star Wars Hunters, right? Coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
No one, that movie, we played it at Celebration.
We did.
That game is not, that game is not going to get torn apart. It is going to be
fun for what it
is. Yeah, it'll be criticized for some of the mobile stuff, you know, obviously. Yeah. It's going to have cartoony graphics. The graphics are super fun. There's going to be some pretty stock criticisms for it, but I think ultimately it's going to be a free-to-play game that a lot of people are going to enjoy. Some people are going to be not entertained by. It's going to be for the audience that it's for, right?
Right.
That game has nothing to live up to. Knights of the Old Republic has to live up to the fact that it is remembered as one of the great games of the original Xbox, right? It was one of the great games of this console generation step forward. It lives in people like me who have a level of nostalgia for this game, because you've got to remember, this game came out just after Attack of the Clones. Like, this was peak Star Wars frenzy for my childhood.
Yeah, same.
And the love of this game and this franchise is so immense.
Yep.
And if you don't put out an absolute like Jedi Survivor banger level game, they're going to get torn to shreds on this.
Yeah.
You can't put out a mediocre product here. The expectation is too high.
If we were in that meeting, flies on the wall, my guess is they got absolutely shredded meeting.
They got torn apart. Like, I think
I don't know, right? I don't know what they presented. The demo might have been great.
Well, apparently it wasn't. According to the people that matter, right? I'm not saying us, right? But there's a key point that Nerdy said. It has to look AAA level, etc. Like mega. Here's the thing. They're not AAA studio. They're not even close. I like Aspyr, but they're not a AAA level studio. So I ask once again, how the heck this got greenlighted to give them this?
Because they did a good job on the port.
That's not good enough.
They got the job because they went, hey, look, we made Republic Commando. It sold gangbusters. We made Pod Racer. It sold gangbusters.
Yeah.
We made this. The Lucasfilm has, if you're Lucasfilm, right, and you're going into these meetings and Aspyr's like, we've ported five games.
Yeah.
And Nerdy Knightley has bought all five of them.
On multiple platforms.
Multiple platforms, not just one platform.
We've got these idiots around our finger. Canada,
yeah. Here too.
At the Nerdy Knightley buying all of our games, we make money. And if I'm Lucasfilm and I'm like, well, if Nerdy Knightley's buying them, you know what I mean? Like, that dude will buy anything. That doesn't mean anything. Because if it's Star Wars, I'll probably pay for it. No, but my point is like, once you've made enough money for a company and you go, hey, look, we've ported over these games. Let's chat for a second. We have an idea. We want to remake Knights of the Old Republic. If I'm Lucasfilm and I'm looking at the pile of cash that they sit me on when I come to the meetings with Aspyr because they've made me a pile of cash and that they've made me a throne out of money, I'm going, yeah, I would love a second throne out of money.
Yeah.
That game.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that they also ported over Knights of the Old Republic 2, a game which up until like a week ago, you couldn't beat.
Yeah. So they're not perfect. See? Like, even on their port, the Knights of the Old Republic 2, I told you about this, it had a glitch so bad that you couldn't get past a certain point and beat the game. A spoiler, that was Aspyr. That was the same company. So,
To be fair to Aspyr,
they tried to do
Republic 2
is not really a finished game. Yes.
It's broken.
I know.
It's not finished.
I know.
As much as I want to love it, And people who say that they like Knights of the Republic 2 more than Knights of the Republic 1, I have questions.
I would never say that, but I actually still really like the second one.
They just want to be different, that person.
Yeah.
it wasn't a finished game.
No, it wasn't.
And so it has problems. And so it's not, that one's not 100% on Aspyr.
No, it's not.
If I was Aspyr, I would not be looking at the news coming out about my company right now and feeling great about it.
I'd be not at all.
A little concerned.
Yeah.
Well, I would be a little bit like, we don't look awesome right now.
It's interesting that Nerdy talked about the gameplay of the last one. I've beaten that game at least 3 to 4 times, and I still to this day don't actually know how the combat works in terms of like all the like little increment things. I don't know. I really don't. I don't. I still beat it. I still loved it.
It's dense.
I don't need to fully understand it. I really don't, because it does a lot of it for you. If you really understand it, you probably just destroy that game, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I still had a fun time. It's weird, though. The gameplay of that, in my opinion, is actually what keeps that game easy to go back to now. Like, its gameplay doesn't age poorly too badly, in my opinion, because if it was like a Jedi Fallen Order type game that was made back then and you tried to play it now from a 2002 game, it's like unplayable, in my opinion. I can't play games like that. I've tried. It just doesn't work for me. But since they have this different, like, almost turn-based like system, almost, not exactly turn-based, it works. Like, I can play it now, and I still have a great time with it, personally. And But Nerdy's right. To bring it to a new audience, you basically have to do a Final Fantasy VII Remake pull-off, which is like a 1 in a million pull-off, by the way. For those who don't know, Final Fantasy VII is actually a great comparison, even though it's not a Star Wars game. This is a beloved, one of the best, like, RPG games that came out back in the day. It's actually a JRPG. And
The original Final Fantasy VII is a top five video game of all time.
Exactly. And then,
like, it is one of the best video games ever made, and maybe the best game of the 90s.
I completely agree with that. And so when they announced that there was a remake for that game, I also never expected that. But the reason they basically did it was because, like, fans would shut up about it. And they're like, okay, well, there's clearly money to be made here, so we're going to give it a go. But at the same time,
split it into 9 parts, and every single part
it's 3 parts. It's 3 parts. They announced it. Anyways,
oh, there are DLCs. You and I both know,
and I will buy all of them.
15 ways to pay for Final Fantasy 7.
The point is, though,
the point is, they put on it.
They took the gameplay and they basically made what is mostly a new age level style of playing, but still combine a little bit of old elements, and somehow it's perfect. And I don't know how they pulled it off, but I guarantee it's a huge feat that they did that. And I don't know. Well, Final Fantasy VII Remake? You've not played it?
Here's the thing. When I say that Final Fantasy VII is one of the best games of all time, I mean that I have not picked up the remake because I don't know that I can be fair to it. Like, I don't know that you can capture the experience that I had with Final Fantasy VII in a way that I will enjoy. And so I've just been like, it's one of those things that, like, I don't know what to do. Because I've heard good things, but I'm one of those people who's like, I'll just go play Final Fantasy VII again. Like, I don't need new graphics, you know? And so I haven't touched it out of fear that, like, if I didn't like it, I would be angry. You know what I mean?
No, I'm both hurt and upset by this, but it's anyways, I don't know how to get past that actually. I'm sorry, this is a Star Wars podcast, but I have to address this. No, is it perfect? No, but it's absolutely amazing, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say this, it is a little bit different, and there's two ways you can do remakes. You can do it a shot by shot, frame by frame remake of, and that's I'm just saying for all remakes, not just Final Fantasy or Star Wars, right? You have two choices. You can do shot-by-shot remake, and everything looks exactly the same. Just new graphics, essentially, right? New gameplay. But if you, story-wise, it's the same. Or you can tweak a little bit or flesh it out more. And so Final Fantasy VII Remake does that. It fleshes out things that, like, it's all the story, but moments that you never knew you want, you never got to see those in-between moments. They don't feel like filler. They feel like an actual bigger story being played out. And I don't want to say anything too much, but like it changes things just a tiny bit. And it makes it its own thing. And that's
where I get nervous. That's where little butterflies start to go in my stomach where I'm like, oh,
but here's the thing. You always have the original Final Fantasy VII. So you just treat this as like it's literally a different Final Fantasy VII. Like, just give it a go. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, that's the thing here.
The number of movie studios that have tried to pitch me that exact same thing, and I've gone to their movies and left upset.
Okay, well, Final Fantasy VII Remake got very good reviews across the board. Okay,
so and he did love it.
And I absolutely loved it. And I hold that game in the same regard that you do. So
here's the question I want to ask you then. If they're going to remake Knights of the Republic, right? Would you rather them go full on Final Fantasy VII with it? Or would you prefer like what they did with Diablo II last year? With what was it? Warhammer was Reforged. What was the Diablo 2 one? Diablo 2 Resurrected, where you basically, it's literally just a graphic overlay and you can literally swap between the graphics of the old and the new. Would you rather a whole new game or would you just like a new graphical interface?
This is where I struggle because I'm of two minds here and I've talked to other people too and I kind of agree with both points. It's really hard for me. Like, did I ever think this game would be remade? No. But since that's the conversation, and there's two choices. My personal preference would be the Final Fantasy VII Remake way and give them wiggle room to change some things. And the reason I say that is because I feel like from an artistic perspective, if you're given this thing and all you're doing is doing a trace, like you're just doing trace or dot to dot, that's not very inspiring for an artist. So if you want to take the story in slightly different directions or get a third of the way through and completely change what the rest of it would look like from there on, go for it. I don't care. I really don't. Because if it's a good story at the end of the day, I don't care. And if I don't like it, guess what? The original one, I can just go back and play that. So I'm good with that. I think you have a better chance of it. If you just do a shot by shot, those ones are not usually my favorite. Though I will admit, like Resident Evil 2 was a shot by shot remake, and I'd never played the original, so I really love that one. Then there's people that I talk to that are like, do we even need a remake of this game? And I'm like, yeah, probably not, honestly. I don't know if we actually do, though it does excite me weirdly to play a remake of this game. So I'm kind of like of two minds. I do think we keep dipping into, if you've listened to any of our other podcasts or whatever, we keep dipping back into everything we've already done Star Wars. Like everything. Like other than like The Mandalorian and a couple of exceptions, right? We're still seeing Star Wars play it very safe. Though we do have the future of like Taika Waititi's, you know, movies that have that future. We have The Acolyte in the future.
So they just announced like Amanda Stenberg. They're going to be playing the lead of that news, which
cool.
We all knew a year ago, right?
Right. So I was like, I thought you told us that already.
That was the weirdest announcement ever, because it was on Amanda posted it on their Instagram, and then the Star Wars Twitter like thumbs up it and like retweeted it, and we're like, oh yeah, welcome them to the galaxy. And I was looking at my phone. I was like, literally, because I was like scrolling for Comic-Con news for like all the reactions and stuff that day. And I was looking at that announcement and I was like, did I make up that this announcement happened already? Like, I was so sure. And so I did some Googling, and I'm still confused, because I thought that they were announced to be in the show like 16 months ago. And or not that far. But whenever Disney Investor Day was last year. And apparently that was just rumors that were so accurate.
Oh, but wow.
Lucasfilm was like, we're not going to talk about that for a year. It's crazy to me.
Because we talked about it on the podcast.
I think
too.
We thought it was an actual thing when we talked about it. It was our first episode.
Like, yeah, we're going to have our first non-binary,
Because we talked about
actor.
We talked about
in the universe. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's so great. We love representation.
I think we did.
Yeah. No, I know for a fact.
Are you sure?
Okay. Because I wouldn't have known this.
Because we had a list of shows that were coming out in 2022 and 2023, and Acolyte was one of them. We talked about it pretty extensively. That's wild. I had no idea that wasn't officially announced. Okay.
It's just so funny that like that was, and the official announcement was an Instagram post, because they were at San Diego Comic-Con. Like, it wasn't even a like at a Star Wars thing. Amandala just happened to be there, and so they were like, well, since you're at Comic-Con, why don't you just announce that you're in the show? And the whole story of that, I'm like, what is this marketing campaign? It's crazy. And I'm happy about it. Look, I think they're very talented. I think Rue is like an iconic character
that,
Rue's death in the Hunger Games sells that whole franchise.
Oh, yep.
And I think that like that the success of that franchise goes back to them. So I think that, you know, I'm so excited to see what Amandala is going to do in The Acolyte and what that show is, and you know, this dark side of the Force we're getting. The Acolyte is, you know, is new. I think honestly Star Wars video games is where we're going to see a lot of new stuff, right? Because Jedi Survivor is going to show us stuff we've never seen before, I think.
And Fallen Order did too. Like, it was a new story and a new section. And like, I'm not saying everything is playing it safe, but we're still kind of in the safe area ish. But I think Nerdy actually, I think the reason this game got made is actually probably what Nerdy said. I think the real reason this game got made was because it really was just Aspyre being like, hey, we can do this. But now that it's this far in, it's like, even though they're having problems, they're like, well, we got to do it. Because if it was any other title, like if it was a new Star Wars title, right, they would cancel this game. They would 100% cancel it. They've canceled plenty of Star Wars games. It's happened all the time. But you just announced one of the best Star Wars games, one of the best games ever, and you're like, yeah, we're going to remake this. You can't take that back. It's just like if Final Fantasy VII did the same thing with their remake, they'd have been torched. Like, they never heard the end of it. It wouldn't just go away. So now they're in a weird spot, and I'm just more worried about what this game looks like in the future, and if we ever see it, or if they just quietly try to snuff it out. I don't know. I don't think they will, but it's 2022.
Bring up an alternate point of view that I read on the internet that I actually found interesting?
Sure. Yeah,
someone brought up the idea, the theory, if you will, that Lucasfilm is the one behind this indefinite hold.
Okay.
Because they want the game to be canon. And so they are pushing the game back so that it can fit into what they're going to be doing with the Old Republic in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. There has been a lot of talk about, you know, them making movies or a show about that era, which wouldn't surprise me. So the only part I would have to debate on that is firing two of their lead people, because Aspyre did pivot and say, like, look, they told their staff, like, we're going to go like search for the projects, like we're going to go do the thing we're good at. In the meantime, we're not just going to like, you know, sit here. Obviously, we're going to go do stuff in the meantime. So why get rid of those two, really?
I think Aspyre is going to make the game.
Yeah.
I think Saber will.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
You know, Saber is the parent company. They own Aspire, right? Like, it makes They're sense for them to be it. Like, look, if you... We gave you all the chance to, like, make a new game.
Yeah.
We left you unsupervised for a while. You're going back to what you're good at.
Go port stuff. Go make money, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Go port, I don't know, Battlefront Rogue Squadron. What was the Battlefront after Battlefront 2 on the PSP? It was Battlefront Rogue, like, maybe.
I never had a PSP.
I can't remember. It was great. The original Battlefront games were so good, and the PSP ports of those, chef's kiss. I miss Galactic Conquest. If you're gonna
I love Galactic Conquest. 3, yeah.
If you're doing Battlefront 3, bring back Galactic Conquest.
Oh, best I'm mode. So on board.
Especially if you could Galactic Conquest with friends, like that's what I want. Oh, I want a team too. Of 10 versus a team of 10, be able to like Galactic Conquest over a LAN party one night. Beautiful.
Oh, I'd love that.
I think Aspire won't make this game. I think Saber will.
No.
And yeah, I think it's over. I think that the chance of it being canon, probably not. I don't want to spoil the game, so I don't. It's hard for the game to be canon in the way that Jedi Fallen Order is, because it is very much an RPG, and you have a lot of control over your character.
You do. You have a lot of. You have. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's. I don't think it's much of a spoiler to say like your choices matter in this game. I think that's one of the things that we enjoyed the most about it. You can literally go to the light side, go to the dark side, or be a gray Jedi, which is that's not canon, but you literally could do that in the game. So like. Yeah, for it to be canon, unless they made it into more...
They would have to change the end of the story.
Well, they would also have to make it so, like, you're not making as much... Your choices don't matter as much. They just don't. Like,
right. Which they can't do because of, like, the reveal about your character at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Which I'm tiptoeing around because it is arguably, like, one of the big spoilers in video games. You can't make that canon... Because that character has to have a canon existence, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that it would be canon adjacent at best, but I could see them trying to put it in the world of canon so that they can cult their corporate
it is
everything and make it, money.
Synergy.
It does take place thousands of years technically before like Phantom Menace. So like they have like a lot of wiggle room, but they would definitely have to like plan out that if they're doing anything else with that. Era. So like I think there might be some validity to that theory. One of the things I want to ask though, especially for you, Claudia, because you're not the only person I know. I've had other friends ask me about this game. They're like, should I play it? Should I just wait for the remake? If you're asking if you should wait for the remake, my answer now is no. Do not wait for the remake anymore. I really do think the first one still holds up. But you and I talked about it, and I was planning on taking you through the game, like either the original or the remake, but now, do you even have any interest in the original? Because, like, I mean, I just don't see the remake happening for a long time.
For me, I don't know. It depends on how bad the gameplay... You said it's all very, very confusing.
Oh, and that makes Claudia, me... I was a... Okay, so I don't know how many times I beat it, but I was starting at a 12-year-old, and I still couldn't tell you what I was doing combat-wise. I had, like, a general, like, surface-level understanding. And I got through the game.
I say this. I think that watching Clarus play through Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time
over the last few weeks
has pointed out to me how hard older styles of controls can be
for
people who did not play them back then and are used to modern controls. Because she's struggling with the controls of that game, and it is not her, right? Like she plays modern games.
No,
it is the fact that you have to like unlearn how to touch the controller. Mm-hmm. And she was struggling the first time so much. She actually bought a like USB N64 controller to play the game.
It's mapped easier. Out buttons are easier. Yeah,
yeah, but it is one of those things where like. Maybe play it on the iPad. It's a great iPad experience. It plays really well. And the controls are mapped to mobile in a way that I think makes sense to modern audiences. In a way that I think that the original controls might be clunky in the hands of someone who didn't play it back then. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I will actually add on to that and say, weirdly enough, even though I am mainly a console gamer, I played this on PC. And so for me, the controls don't feel off at all because I think it's similar to like the iPad. It's very easy. It's a point and click. It's moving with this, but like really, like the mouse actually makes it easier than a controller, in my opinion. So
I've never played it with mouse and keyboard. I wonder what that's like.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy.
I need to buy that port now.
Yo, because there's a fan made. Oh. So there's a fan made mod.
No, I do own it on PC because I tried to play it on stream. And I can play it on my computer, but I can't play it on my computer and stream it at the same time without it getting borked by OBS.
That's fair.
So I was never able to figure it out. And so because that was originally like the thing I wanted to stream. But I never figured it out, unfortunately.
Yeah. So they made a fan-made mod on like Steam for the second one that quote unquote like fixes/finishes it. So
yeah.
It's just, allegedly. Just a suggestion. Anyways, though, I think you should at least eventually give it a try, Claudia, but I would probably hang out with you and do it, and I would probably suggest us playing it on computer.
You know what I think hurts the game for modern audiences?
Sure.
You don't get a lightsaber until, like...
It's so long.
15 hours into the game.
You know, he's right. Honestly, even back then, as much as I love the game, that to this day, I'm still like... Can I just get to the lightsaber? Like, can I just get there? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a long time. It's arguably one of the long... Okay, no, wait, hold on. Nah, it's still long. The other one I was thinking of is Jedi Outcast 2, Kyle Katarn. That one takes a while to get the lightsaber too, but I tried that the other day. It's not nearly as long as Knights of the Old Republic. It's a while. Yeah, it's a while.
It might be the longest prologue I've ever played.
Is it? Honestly, it feels more than 15 hours to me. It feels like 20, I think.
Well, it depends, because here's the thing. You can side quest. Like, that first planet, you can side quest for a while.
Yeah.
You can kind of do whatever you want. Like, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff with mission. There's a bunch of stuff, you know, there's
Pazak game that's completely stacked against you. You're not supposed to win.
And you can't leave without winning the dueling tournament, but leveling up high enough to win the final fight of the dueling tournament can take a while. It is, like... You can literally probably spend almost 20 hours in that game.
You guys are really selling this to a modern
audience. If you want to do everything in Knights of the Republic, it probably takes north of 100 hours.
Yeah, like, I think
all
so.
The side quests, everything. Like,
I think how long to beat it lists at like 60-ish hours or to 70-ish hours. Fair. But like that's like doing a little bit of the side stuff and the main quest, I think. I think it was
enough
60
stuff to be like at level for things.
Right. Yeah. And then I think if you're a completionist, I think it goes like above 100. I think it goes around 100, which makes sense because there's a lot of side stuff you don't have to do. But really, the side stuff, I swear I'm not trying to undersell. Like the side stuff is a lot of it is really just like story based and super interesting. And some of it's really fun. Like I actually like it's one of those things that none of them, they didn't feel like fetch quests. Right. They didn't feel like I was playing an old Assassin's Creed game where I'm like, you're just going to go get that collectible on a map. There was like a lot of story to everything you did.
Oh yeah, and there's quests where it's like you have to figure out who the murderer is.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And you have to like interrogate people.
Yeah.
And you can be wrong.
You can be wrong.
You can accuse people of murder
this
and
game,
be wrong.
This game's fantastic.
It's crazy. It's so good. It really is so I love this game.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah. It is tough to introduce it to new audiences, I think. It's a little clunky. It looks a little silly at times.
It does.
And, you know, it's a slow start. It really is a slow start, even though it has the exact same beginning as Halo.
I still think
exact same first level as the original Halo game.
That's funny.
I never thought about that.
Halo. I'm not saying they stole it from.
No. I see what you're saying.
But I think it is like a delightful homage to Knights of the Republic.
Yeah. It probably is. You know, the last thing I'll say is like I've seen arguments which are fair of like, does this need to be remade? But see, when Nerdy and I start talking about like the little things about the game, I start to realize like for a lot of people that missed out on it, that I think would really enjoy it, that does bring some validity to the argument that it should be remade. Because I think it would draw a lot more people into one of the best games. But the problem is the execution of it.
Wait. I have to correct myself. I was thinking about that for a second. That doesn't make sense. Halo predates Knights of the Old Republic. So the Knights of the Old Republic opening level copied Halo, not the other way around.
Interesting.
Oh, very interesting.
Halo
yeah, you're right.
Came out 2 years early.
Sometimes when you're recording things, folks, you don't think about the tiny little things of dates and years and things.
I thought about it. I had to make sure I was correct because
I didn't. I just like Nerdy's always right.
Nuts.
I just assume he's right. But yeah, that's
weird.
Any other Anything else? Claudia, you got any big thoughts?
I think it's great if it does get remade. I know it's your favorite Star Wars game of all time.
It's one of my favorite games, period, of all time.
I know, but it's your favorite Star Wars game, which yes. I was like, even compared to Jedi Fallen Order, and you were like,
that's comparing apples to oranges, but yes, but I absolutely love Jedi Fallen Order. Don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah, and
Jedi Fallen Order is a better game by modern standards, but
yeah, by modern standards,
Knights
of the
Old Republic is my favorite Star Wars game.
For sure. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
But for me, I mean, I feel like so many people, and you know, not just myself, it's like you got into gaming later, or you didn't have the consoles when you were younger, or it just wasn't something you were passionate about until, you know, now. And I think that, you know, because there's so much passion behind it, it's the same concept of, you know, Zelda Ocarina of Time is one of your all-time favorites. Yeah. I have never played that. I played my first Zelda game with you.
Yeah.
You know what, 3 years ago?
Yep.
So being introduced into like franchises like later in life, it's fun to be able to share that with, you know, the people that you love, especially if it's somebody something that you love. Like Nerdy, I know for you, like if Knights of the Old Republic does end up coming out, you're gonna love watching Clarice's reactions when the new one's remade. Or you're going to be watching every little thing to make sure that she reacts in the correct way. I have no idea.
I don't know. Based on how she's responding to Ocarina of Time, I don't know.
Because it's old right now, though.
Yeah, she's not loving it the way that I do.
So Ocarina of Time is a great example, actually, of this. Because if there is... So that's one of my favorite games, right? And I can still go back and play it. But, like, look, the N64 controller is terrible, and that's fine. But if there's ever been a game that I had in my mind that should be remade, actually, it's that one. Like, yes, it's a fantastic game, but I've actually always thought Ocarina of Time should be remade because it should. It absolutely should be.
Flag on the play. No, it should be. You cannot update it. Like, there's no way.
Oh, it would be so great.
There's no way to update it without having to make everything bigger. And when you make everything bigger, you make everything worse.
You only have to Ocarina make it bigger. Time, you only got to make it bigger because of pressure from the outside world. Just don't listen to them. Don't make it bigger. Don't make it a giant Red Dead Redemption game.
People will want a jump button. You know what I mean? Like, people will want things that like break how the game is built.
That's true.
And Ocarina of Time is built to work. You know what I mean? And obviously, like... The speedrunners can break it. I know that. There are their exploits. But, like, it is a game that just functions from A to B to Z perfectly as is.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can remake it because Knights of the Republic does not have the reputation of being a landmark video game. Ocarina of Time is remembered as changing the industry.
Have you seen, though, the Unreal Engine rebuilds of fan-made portions of the game, whereas you do not change the controls, you don't even change the size of the world. It is lit. So that is one game where I would say a shot is how you should keep it, actually, and just have it with it looks so good. I would play the hell
fairies
out of
the fairies are too sexy. I don't need that in better graphics. Like, they're weird. They have giant pointy boobs. If you skin those over with like boobs held together with vines, if you make the graphics of Ocarina of Time better, it is no longer a children's game. I will stand by this until the day that I die. That game becomes hentai, okay? It's basically tentacle porn at that point. You update those graphics and you are making it for an adult man. And look, yes, did someone do that in Unreal Engine? Yes, a pervert did that, okay? A pervert updated that game because it is horny as hell. And it is only okay because the boobs are triangles. But if the boobs had circular shape, they are too adult. You're not getting away with that shit.
Dang.
The ESRB's cracking down, giving you that 18+, you're dead in the water rating.
I just
like imagine if they announce that they're going to make a remake of this. I just imagine Nerdy just like, getting them the old man like going on
get
to
off my
like,
lawn.
Get off my lawn, but, like go to like Nintendo, get off my lawn, like you can't make this,
it's too horny.
No, I will buy it.
Oh, I know.
I bought that new Super Mario Battle Strikers game a couple weeks ago, which was an utter disappointment. It's actually pretty, it's a well-made game. There's just like no content in
there's
it
no, yeah,
once it, I beat
yeah there's no content
once I beat
to it.
It I was like, well, why was this $90? Like,
yeah, there's no
it's
content
the same
to it.
Every match
I almost
is the
bought
same.
It.
Why?
Yeah, I almost bought it. Yeah.
Ugh.
And I love Strikers from the GameCube. Anyways, okay, cool. So I think that's probably about it. There's been a lot of canceled Star Wars games, but I actually really don't think there's going to be one of them because the name's too big. So I guess we just kind of wait and see what happens next, but I think it's going to be a while before we hear anything.
Yeah, I think Saber's going to have to swoop in and save it all.
And it's going to take them a long time. It sounds like they're going to have to, I don't know, start over, but like they have a lot of work to do.
I just want like Rocksteady to come in and take it over and turn it into an Arkham game, but with lightsabers. If they're going to remake it, like, go weird. You know,
we merely adopted the lightsaber. I was born with it, molded by it.
Also, Nerdy, I'm still shocked that of all the video games you've bought, you still haven't bought Final Fantasy VII. I know we're going back to that.
Because we're on the podcast, I'm not gonna continue that conversation, but we are going to have this conversation at length. I'm going to bug you so much in your DMs. Buddy, come on.
Here's the thing. I don't have time for a 70-hour game right now that I'm not going to play on stream.
It's not 70 hours.
Okay. You know what, Jeffers? I'll make you this promise.
Okay.
When they release the full game, I will buy it.
It's not a full game. It is a full game still. It's because you haven't played it because you don't know what you're talking about.
When I get Final Fantasy VII remade from beginning to end, I will go to the store and I will buy it.
All right, okay, I'm going to have this conversation with you off the podcast.
At some point in 2029, I think, right?
All right, everybody.
Part two.
We got to go.
Before we go, I just want to say the greatest part about Knights of the Republic is that you become a Jedi in like 4 minutes.
But awesome. You don't get a lightsaber.
It takes 20 hours
for
to get there.
15 to 20 hours,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, you are fully not a Jedi, and then you meet the Jedi, and they talk to you like 4 times, and then you're a Jedi.
Oh, and
beautiful.
The greatest transition from like prologue to main game where they're like, all right, it's nice to meet you. All right, you're a Jedi.
Yeah.
Go do Jedi shit.
Literally.
And you're like, oh, okay.
And for the record, after you become a Jedi, in the future, you decide multiple times if people live or die. Like big characters where they're like, do you want to live? Do you want to die? Oh, it's all on you. You get to choose. So
Mass Effect does not exist without Knights of the Old Republic. And
Mass Effect 1 is just a shittier version of Knights of the Old Republic.
But Mass Effect 2 is a better version of Knights of the Republic.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with that one. I don't think Mass Effect 2 is a better version. I really don't.
The gameplay of Mass Effect 2 is fantastic. Like,
oh, no, the gameplay of Mass Effect 2 is great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, all right. Well, thanks so much for watching, everybody. May the Force be with you, Utini, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.